Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
If you're a guest with us this morning, good morning. My name is Tom Kyle. My wife, Randy, was up here earlier with me. She's the one that's going to have words with me afterwards from mentioning the video that we will not mention. But we have the privilege of serving this community here, and we welcome you. We trust this morning that you encounter Jesus, that you experience Jesus, that you hear Jesus this morning. That is our goal, that's our heart, that's our DNA here in this body. And next week we will have, March 26th, we had a message about where this church is going as far as impacting the community, and our design and desire this morning was to show a video that kind of outlined more about that. We had a midweek meeting subsequent to March 26th. I think 80 people showed up. How can we impact the community? And so we wanted to give some more details, and we will do that. This video started with me looking at Randy and saying, beautiful, that was so well said. But what did she say? So we were just teasing. That's a teaser for next week. You know, it'll all be made clear. You can tell I might have been involved in the technology. Say no more. Say no more. This morning, I want to talk in a series again. We have been looking for several weeks about family. Family is so important to Jesus, so important and part of the kingdom of God of heaven. And I want to continue on in that theme this morning. And I want to highlight Jesus' heart towards people again this morning. It's Jesus' heart towards people. And so many of us, I've been a Christian for 45 years, and may not act like that, but I really have been. But it's so interesting to see how all of us, when we impact the community, when we interact with the community, we're all so different. And we carry a different flavor, if you will, of Jesus into the community. And as I look back on the way I interacted with people for my first 2, 3, 4, 5 years. In fact, just real quick, and this is not part of my story, I'm burning time, but it's okay. So I became a Christian at 18. My mom and dad were not believers at that time. They didn't know anything about Jesus. I clearly didn't know anything about Jesus. All I knew is I had met this amazing man named Jesus. My world was turned upside down. I was a blasphemer. I took the Lord's name in vain. I never, ever, ever, ever went to church. I didn't know anything about the Bible. And then my best friend introduced me to Jesus. I became a Jesus follower August 3rd, 1977, and instantly I was different. Grass was green, sky was blue, and I went home knowing all things, understanding all things, and I shared good news with my dad. And I told him, Dad, I've got good news for you. You're going to go to hell. I couldn't understand why he was so offended. I'm like, it's good news. What's wrong, Pop? I was really, 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 really close with my mom and dad. I really was. And my dad didn't receive it the way I had wanted him to receive it. And as we read the Bible, we're shown, we see real lives, real people. And these people in the Bible, Older and New Testament, we see real people with real problems, real issues, real challenges, and the reality of their own humanity and their own get it wrong. And that's one of the painful things as we read the Bible. It's like, I don't think all my mistakes, and I'm current, all the mistakes I made, praise Jesus, they're not in the Bible. Really, really embarrassing. But some people's mistakes are right there in the Bible for people to read generation after generation after generation. And I can be tempted as I grow a little older to think, oh, I'm glad I didn't do that. Ew, what's wrong with them? Why didn't they understand? How could they say that? How could they do that? And then every once in a while, the Holy Spirit says, oh yeah, Tom, remember when you did this, that, and everything else, and you were so sure, so cocky, so arrogant, so full of yourself? And I'm like, oh yeah. Jesus, thank you that I live now. Thank you that I wasn't one of the original 12 disciples and all their faults, all their mistakes. and their learning process for generations to see. And this morning, I want to talk about the love of God and how it affects family. But I want to talk about Jesus' love and how he interacts with people, as opposed to how I might at times, when I'm missing it, when I'm missing the mark, when I'm missing God's heart. And we're going to read a couple of passages where we see the disciples learning. My wife and I had the privilege of living in England on a couple of different occasions. And they just do things there that are wrong. Sorry, Ben's British, sorry. Yeah, they just do it wrong. But they did have a couple of things right. And one of the things, when you have new drivers in England, brand new drivers, they actually put a plate on the back of the car, and it's a big red L. Not loser, but it's a big red L, learner. And so what that is supposed to do is back off, don't poop on the horn, as they say in England. Don't honk the horn. Oh, you don't know the half of it. But there's these L plates. I am a learner. Give me space. Be gracious with me. Be kind towards me. I'm learning. And I think after 45 years as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, I'd still like an L plate somewhere on my body. I'm in process. I'm learning. I don't have it all right. Believe me. Don't talk to Randy. Believe me, I don't have it all right. I'm in process. Let's look into the Bible. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that you have, in your kindness, in your mercy, you have chosen to put in writing truth, people's lives, pain, promise, inheritance, privilege, people's sin, people's success. But thank you, Father, that you put in writing things about Jesus' life when he physically walked the earth. Thank you that you showed us in writing, in the Bible, Jesus' life. I thank you, Jesus, you came to reveal the Father, to show us what he's really like. And even though in your own Bible, it says all the books of the world couldn't contain what Jesus said and did. But Lord, you did give us things to show us, some things. And though we look through a keyhole, as it were, and comparative to how you really are, King Jesus, at least it shows us a glimpse into your heart to understand truth from your perspective, not mine, not America, not the West, that you came to show people the kingdom of heaven, what the kingdom is like, not what Missouri, how Missouri people think, not how Americans think, but how heaven thinks, the kingdom of heaven. Help me this morning, help us this morning, help us to learn about the kingdom of heaven and to continue changing, to continue evolving, and to the sons and daughters that you called us to be, that we would step into all that you have for us. Help me to communicate your heart this morning, King Jesus. Bless our time together. In his mighty name we pray, amen and amen. Luke 9, we're going to look at a couple of different passages in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to pick it up, Luke 9, verses 1 through 6 at the beginning. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority. And I want to stop right there for just a second. What did he give them? What did the Bible just say he gave them? Power and authority. Authority. When you think about that word authority, and again, this is rhetorical. I know this is a trick question. It's, at times we miss this. Rhetorical means you don't give me an answer. Okay. I know. But when you sit there and quietly think authority, what do you, in your mind, without saying, what do you think of when it says Jesus gave them power and authority? What could that authority look like? What did it, do you think it could have meant, authority? What could it have been? Because that's a big word, authority. It's like when a young person, a man or a woman, gets a badge and they go through police school and they're given the badge. They are given authority. At times when I'm driving, I want that authority. I want to be able to give people tickets and possibly remove their license semi-permanently. But they were given authority that they didn't have prior, that potentially they didn't know what it was or the extent or the scope of their authority. I wonder what that authority was that Jesus gave them. This is what the Bible says. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority. Answer: to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. There, see there? There's your answer. There's my answer. No trick. That was the authority he gave them to do. Does it say he gave them other things to do? Like go into the temple and with a whip and drive out all the Pharisees and all the religious people? Does the Bible say he gave them authority to go whip the religious people? Nope. Doesn't say that. But it does say what Jesus did give them authority to do. Drive out all demons. Cure diseases. Yes. Proclaim the kingdom of God. And to heal the sick. That's what he gave them authority to do. And I believe it's similar to the authority he's given us. We'll talk about that more. Verse 3. He, Jesus, told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village proclaiming the good news. And it is good. It's good news. And healing people everywhere. So now the disciples, these 12 people who at times the Bible would show us are a little clueless, a little slow, a little dim-witted, a little, hello, L plates. Very much like me. But these 12 followers are now doing the very thing Jesus was doing himself. But he gave them power and authority. And he said, now guys, go do it. Now we're going to pick it up, same chapter, a few verses down. Verse 51 through 56. Same timeline, if you will. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. And you may not understand that, but the Jews and the Samaritans were at odds. They were opposed to one another. They didn't like each other, didn't understand each other, had no appreciation or love for each other. Another message for another time, but it was like Cubs cards, but much worse. When the disciples, James and John, let me read that again. So what's the problem? Back up just a verse. And Jesus sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him. Who? They did not welcome Jesus. They did not welcome Jesus. They did not welcome Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was headed to Jerusalem. If you're going there, got nothing, don't want anything to do for you. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? Huh. Now, these are two of the big shots. These are two, Peter, James, and John. They were close to Jesus. Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John. Raising the little girl from the dead when nobody was believing it, Peter, James, and John. Jesus, right before he's going to go to the cross, he's going to go pray, Peter, James, and John. These are two of the three brighties, bright guys. Got it. Revelation. Understand. Jesus, we got this. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, that the Samaritans weren't getting it, didn't want to receive Jesus, were opposed to what Jesus wanted to do, when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked of Jesus, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. I just want to say that I believe with all of my heart that we, as followers of Jesus, many in this room, have been given the same authority and the same power for kingdom activities that we've been called to do. Like what? Drive out demons. Cure diseases, proclaim the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. That's what we've been called to do. Similarly, in Mark, Jesus said at the conclusion of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus in Mark 16, verses 15 and 17, Gospel of Mark, Jesus is telling his disciples, guys, this is what I want you to do. Guys, gender neutral. People. Followers of Jesus. Jesus said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Meaning, driving out all demons, curing diseases, preaching the kingdom of God, miracles, healings, manifestations of the Spirit that are, wow, what was that? Jesus said, I want you to do what I did. What I just want to say and highlight, if you can hear one thing this morning, I want you to hear this. Well, two things, but this is the first one. I'd like us to hear this. What Jesus didn't do was tell his disciples, I want you to get in arguments and debates with Christians, with other followers. I want you to debate and argue with other followers. Get into it. Sort them out. Because they're stupid. They're wrong. And I really, really want you to wrangle with other believers about what you think is right. Because clearly they're wrong. I don't see Jesus ever giving power and authority and that mandate to his followers. He also didn't do this. Those people who don't receive what you're doing, don't understand what you're doing, don't like what you're doing, hey guys, be like Elijah in the Old Testament. Call down some fire. Smoke them. It works every time. Didn't tell them to do that. Didn't tell them, hey, people who don't receive your message, fire. We can get this done in one quick moment. But see, the disciples understood something. The Bible, in the Bible, there's a prophet named Elijah in the Old Testament. He's wrangling with prophets of Baal, bad guys. There's 400 of them. And Elijah has got a solution. And it worked. And it had God's blessing. It had God's blessing on it. It happened. If it didn't have God's blessing, fire would not have come down from heaven. But here's the weird thing. Heaven sent the Son, called Jesus, said it's a new day and a new way. We don't call down fire on people anymore. We just don't do that. Even with people who disagree with us, even with people who don't like us, we don't call down fire anymore. And what that means is fire from our mouths. Fire from our hearts. We don't call down fire on people who disagree with us anymore. We don't do that, disciples of Jesus. We don't do that. Because that's what James and John said. Hey, you want us to call down fire? They're against us. And Jesus rebuked them. New day, new administration. Because people are going to disagree with you. People aren't going to like what we do. But Jesus had a new administration from heaven. No fire. Not from heaven, not from my heart, not from my words, not from my actions. No more fire. John 18, verse 36 says this. Again, more red letters. Speaking of a new administration, Jesus came to bring a new kingdom, a new way to reveal heaven and heaven's heart. This is now different day, disciples. In John 18, verse 36, the Bible says this. Jesus said, my kingdom, his kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. It's not of this world. It's not American. It's not Costa Rican. It's not Canadian. My kingdom is not of this world. It's not a democratic kingdom. It is not a Republican kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. Jesus' method when he came was to show them what my Father in heaven's like. I want you to understand what my dad's like. I came to reveal him. And I came to reveal his kingdom, his way of operating, his way of thinking, his way of building. Jesus' method was really simple. Heal people, love people. Preach the kingdom and call people to himself. Call people to himself. I find it interesting and funny that the drunks, the prostitutes, sorry Mother's Day, the drinks and the, just people who look different than the religious folks. They loved Jesus. They loved him. They loved him. Little kids loved to be with Jesus. He didn't put them off. He wasn't too intimidating. He didn't, as Julian said last Sunday, Jesus wasn't sucking on lemons. Jesus was fun and funny and interesting and relatable. Unless you were religious and uptight. Those people had a big problem with Jesus and ultimately killed him. But the sinners, those people, were like, finally, that's life. That's good news. I hear what heaven's saying. Please tell me it's true because I want to follow somebody like you, Jesus. Is it really true? Is God really like this? And crowds, thousands of people came to Jesus. Thousands. Jesus, who had all authority, chose not to call down fire because it was a new day. Luke 13, verse 10 through 17. Luke 13. Same gospel, just a little later. Luke 13, verse 10 through 17. On a Sabbath, which is kind of their church day, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And a woman who was there had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Everybody say 18. 18. That was not rhetorical. 18. Long time. She was crippled by a spirit. But it's synagogue, it's Sabbath. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward to him and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity, from your sickness. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. The synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work. So come and be healed on those days, not this day, not on the Sabbath. Are you kidding me?" Unfortunately, no. The Lord answered them, "You hypocrites." He's so kind, so gentle. But to the religious, the arrogant, the stiff-necked, the people who are actually keeping people away from God because of rules and traditions, Jesus had slow tolerance, low tolerance for those people because they were keeping unbelievers and children of Israel away from the Father because of traditions and their opinions. The Lord answered them, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out and give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what had bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents, and he had them, all his opponents were humiliated. But the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. The people loved the freedom. They loved the lack of religiosity. They loved the fact that he could touch people, whether they were lepers and unclean, according to the law. Jesus did everything you can't do in church, the synagogue. You can't heal this lady. I don't care if she's been bound up for 18 years. You can't do it today. I wonder how many things are in my thought process that don't represent the kingdom, but they might represent my tradition, my background, my understanding, that don't represent heaven, that don't represent the kingdom of heaven. Lord, help me to not throw rocks at other people. Help me to be self-aware. Where are my areas? Where are those hidden places in me that I can't see? Because here's the beautiful thing. Holy Spirit wants to come and reveal and show me the real me. That I can change. Just like Jesus was helping James and John. We're not going to call down fire boys. No. Not today. Because I promise you, while I'm on this earth, my attitudes are not correct. 100%. My belief system is wrong. Even though I believe my belief system. Because if I didn't believe my belief system, I wouldn't have it. Does that make sense? Deep. Holy Spirit, help me from being a Pharisee. Help me from being a religious zealot that is actually working against your kingdom. Same chapter, just a little further down. Luke 13, verse 34. Jesus is out, and now he's out of the synagogue, and he's overlooking this amazing city because he had set resolutely earlier in Luke 9. He resolutely set his face, "I'm going to Jerusalem." That's why the Samaritan said, "Nope. Not going to back you, Jesus." So now he is over Jerusalem. He's looking over it as on a hill. In verse 34, and this is Jesus speaking again, red letters. Not up there, but in the Bible is red letters. And Jesus says this, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." Jesus didn't call down fire on Jerusalem that day, even though they wanted to murder him and did. They did. They killed the precious Son of God. But Jesus is standing knowing it's imminent. It's days now. These people in this city that I love these people. I love them. The good chicks and the naughty chicks. The good little chickens and the bad little chickens. I love you. I love all of you. The very people who are going to hang me on a cross, I love you. And I don't differentiate between those people who are liking me and are going to like me afterwards. I love all of you equally the same. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, all I want to do is gather you close and bring you close that you can catch my Father's heart, that you can see accurately, see correctly. Because see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were fire callers. But they didn't have the power nor the authority to do it, so they just nailed him to a cross. Easier to do that than to call fire down. But Jesus' heart, that he wanted his 12 disciples to catch. Folks, we don't call down fire on Jerusalem. They want to kill me. They will kill me. But you know what we're going to do instead? We're going to love them. Disciples, I want you to hear my voice. My heart is to gather them and bring them close. Recently, Randy and I'm going to close in just a minute. Recently, Randy and I had the privilege of going to Florida. We have four children. We birthed four children. We. Group effort. Happy Father's Day to me. This is going to be so painful this afternoon. We went to Florida with our four children, spouses, our grandchildren, the whole kit and caboodle all together for a week in Florida. It was awesome. It was awesome. And there's just something about, you know, if you don't know Randy, you probably should. She's amazing. She really is. But Randy's heart, every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, every holiday, she just wants the little chicks to be gathered under hen's arms, wings. Is that okay? Yeah. Sorry. But she just wants them all together. And here's the weird thing about our kids. They're weird. There's some DNA challenges, sure. But out of our four kids, guess what they have? Some oddities. Maybe even some abnormalities. Not pointing fingers. Of our four children, they have different political beliefs. They do. You should have been there. You should be there. But to mom, she isn't worried about that. She just wants the chicks close. With all their attitudes, all their issues, all their problems. Because mom and I have some political beliefs too. We have some opinions. But you know what? When the kids get together, we just want to love them. Bring them close. And we didn't in Destin check them at the door. Okay, checklist. How'd you vote? How are you going to vote? How you doing with that mask thing? How did you do with that mask thing? Let me check your shot record. Never happened. Why? Because they're our kids and we love them. And they're very different, a couple of them from mom and dad. Really different. But they're Kyle's. They're our kids. Love them. Special. But as a parent, I'm interested in their hearts. Because I'm convinced they're going to change. They're going to come around. They're going to see the light. They all believed a certain way when they were younger. And I'm going to love them through the process of change. We are going to love them through the process of change. But how do I get there in the meantime? So we're talking about reaching the community. I just want to say this. We are reaching the community. You'll hear more about that through the video next week. We are committed to reaching the community. It's going to happen. Holy Spirit has prophesied it many times to many different people. I wonder what they're going to encounter when they encounter me and us. I wonder, because, okay, let's just say there's a school across the street. Let's just say it's a high school. And let's just say there's a couple hundred teachers. My mother was a school teacher. She was in a union. Ever hear about teachers' unions? Yeah, a little bit. I wonder if all their beliefs are the same as mine and yours.
I don't
think so. Were they going to hear and feel love? Are they going to hear my opinions? Because Jesus, man, he was just so kind. The unbelievers loved him. We talked 3-4 years ago. Many of you weren't here then. But we did a message or a short series on the ABCs of the gospel. ABCs. And what that meant was acceptance before change. I'm going to accept you. I'm going to love you before I see change. Because isn't that what Jesus did and does? He loves us before I change. You should have seen me. There's a couple of people here who actually knew me 40 years ago. I have changed some. And Jesus' love is amazing. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says this. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. My fight is not against flesh and blood. It's not. It's not against people. 2 Timothy 2:22 to 24. 2 Timothy 2:22 to 24. The Bible says this. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Anybody like to debate? Like to disagree? Some of us do. I know some of us do. But the Bible says this, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Ah, man. Last one and I'll close. Promise. Colossians 4. We're going to skip a couple, sorry. Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. I wonder what that means. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. I wonder if that means getting a fight. Express your opinion. Prove them wrong. I wonder if that's what it means. I don't know. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. My job is not to create distance between unbelievers. It's to live in such a way they feel the love, the grace, the kindness, the mercy, the compassion of Jesus. Do I have opinions? I have way too many opinions. I have a boatload of opinions. I am really, really, really pro-life. Really pro-life. And I actually had this on my notes. I'm really, really, really against human trafficking. Really against human trafficking. I loathe and despise to the core of my believing racism. I hate it. But when people encounter me, do they find someone with a whole bunch of attitudes and a whole bunch of opinions? Or do they find the kindness and the warmth and truth and love and compassion of Jesus? What do they encounter when they encounter me? Opinion poll or Jesus? What do they encounter? Yes, I have strong opinions on lots of important things. But I want them to feel, I want them to encounter Jesus before they encounter a lot of other things. I want to win them and love them so I get a chance to influence them over time, which I think is what Jesus did. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your kindness in sending Jesus. I thank you that in sending Jesus, you did not send with him fire to wipe out all the wrong little chickens scurrying about Jerusalem and about the world. But you sent Jesus with a message of reconciliation to bring people to him, to bring people close to him. As Jesus said, to gather the chicks close, that was his longing. It was the chicks who didn't want to, many of them. Help me, help us as a family, as we desire to impact the community. Help us, Lord, to love really well. With my opinions, Lord, I'm not going silent on my beliefs. But Lord, may what they encounter is your love through me, your kindness through me, not my opinions. Help us, Lord, to reach and impact the community. As the teachers, as the bus drivers, as the workers, as the kids come into our midst, may they experience and encounter Jesus. Not rules and beliefs and change and do this and you have to do that. But may they encounter you, Jesus. May revival break out on this very property and in the churches all through St. Charles and St. Louis counties and city. May revival break out as people encounter Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one. Help us, Lord, to love people really well, that they would feel and experience you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're not done with us. We're in progress. We've got L plates. Help me see me, that I would emulate you in every way. The message of the kingdom. Kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. The message of the kingdom of heaven. Help me, help us, Lord. Bless us as we go forward. And everyone said, amen and amen. Could I have everybody stand up real quick?
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.